Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, wherever you are and whenever you're listening. My name is Danuta, and welcome back to another episode of the Students Era podcast. Today, I am joined by a very good friend of mine, Asta. Hey, Asta, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tanura. Thank you so much for having me.
So, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm extremely, extremely tired, but I'm really, really happy to be here. It's been a while since we've had a conversation.
Actually, that is very true. I didn't expect the next time I was going to start talking to you was going to be over on a podcast episode. So it's going to take a really interesting turn. So why don't you just start us off by just introducing yourself to everyone?
Okay, my name is Asta. I prefer that my friends call me Ashi, mostly because university has a lot of diverse students, and most of the time people find it hard to pronounce my name. So yeah, I like when people call me Ashi. I am studying Bachelor's of Science in Psychology with counseling skills, and I'm graduating this year.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm graduating this year. That's about it. In my free time, I like to write books and recite poetry. What else do? I work full time.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about that last fact as well. But hey, that's what we're here to do. Touch about life as a university student while also juggling everything about our social lives. Let's be realistic. Not the easiest task known to mankind.
Yeah.
Right, let's head straight into it. Now, first thing I want to touch on is the two biggest dilemmas or the two biggest factors of your life right now. You're a full-time university student, and you are also full-time employed. Now, usually when a university student thinks about work or trying to make some money, it's probably part-time, contractual, or even an internship. So my first question to you is, what has that experience been working full-time, like a full-time job, on top of having to juggle a full-time degree as well?
I think for starters, you have to be mentally prepared to be constantly burnt out. You need to know how to deal with the burnout.
Oof.
But overall, I think the experience is pretty fine. You just need to find an employer that's okay with you attending all your classes on time. And you need to be able to have sort of like a good communication with your lecturers that they know you're a working person. And sometimes you're like 5 minutes or 10 minutes late to class. And it's not like a huge deal as long as you're like keeping up with your syllabus and like participating in class. It's not stressful, but definitely takes more effort than if you're the average teen university student.
Would you consider yourself as the average teen university student?
I'd like to consider myself an average teen university student.
It's kind of difficult considering you've more or less broken the status quo of what a working university student, in undergrad at least, would be.
Hey, it's really hard. Like after classes, all my friends want to go out and have lunches and like brunches, evening meetups, and I'm just like, no, guys, I'm working. I'm working after class. I'm at the office. I'm never free.
But I think when it came to making that decision of working full time, you knew that there was going to be a sacrifice there, wasn't there?
Yeah, obviously, you win some, you lose some.
And how about the actual university life? How has it been for you, being a full-time employee and what do you call it? Obviously, being a full-time employee and doing a full-time degree, the university life has drastically, in my opinion, or what I might view would be drastically different. So, how has your university experience been with the factors currently out there to you?
It's actually, I wouldn't know if it's too different because throughout the time that I've been in uni, I've been working full time. So it's been like close to 3 years now. And I'm graduating this year. So, I mean, I wouldn't know how university life would be if I wasn't working in the first place because I haven't experienced both sides of the coin. But I wouldn't imagine, I mean, I would imagine it would be super different because everybody else is like spending all their time in the food court or the student lounges and they have hyperactive social lives. And I'm sure that's what some people find content. But I don't think that would be the same for me. So I don't know if it's something that would be like a huge difference to me personally, but I assume other people will find it that way.
It's just that you haven't seen that side of it yet because
Yeah,
of the.
exactly.
No, that's fair. I guess people find like, I guess, there is the stigma of what university life should be, but then when you enter it, instead of everyone entering that, eccentric stigma, everyone just finds a different way to have their university experience. So obviously yours is going to be completely different to mine, but hey, I'm assuming, considering you've been doing it for the past 3 years, there's nothing you regret about it.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I do regret some things, like for me personally, the most like peak work hours are like holidays or like national days and like events. And normally uni has like their social events on like these specific days. Like I'm part of the poetry club and the dance club, and I really want to attend like the workshops and the events that they have. But I'm mostly, if not always, working. So I'm never able to like arrange my schedule to attend like social events in uni.
Oh, that must be that has to be quite a FOMO situation then for you. I do feel
Yeah,
a bit
major
sorry
fear of
now.
missing out.
So I actually want to touch a bit about that as well, because a major aspect, whether people think of it as a stigma or whether people think of it like as a legit purpose, one of the major things about being a university student is the social life. The social aspect of it, which means whether it's clubs, whether it's sports, whether it's just your university events, that is a major role that plays being a university student. Now, I don't know how your take is on it, and considering you just said you have major FOMO about it, I'm pretty sure I know what answer might come up now, but I want to know, like, what is your opinion on, being able to either juggle or sacrifice. Like, do you feel like the stigma of having your job forces you to make that sacrifice? Or is it just something that you understood would come with the role that you have?
I think it's more something that, like, now that you've lived this lifestyle, you just have to go with it. So it's not like a sacrifice, something that I'm forced to be living with. It's just a choice that you made. Like, I decided I wanted to work full time, and now I don't have like the best social life, but it's not exactly the hardest thing to juggle social lives, uni and work, because obviously, like, my closer friends, I get to see them maybe after uni's over or after working hours or over the weekend maybe, but there's always time for like, there's always time if you can make time is the point.
Time management comes back to it every single time. Let's be realistic, Asta. Whether you're an intern, fully employed, or even just a student, time management is just the one thing that can never leave a student. I'm sorry. I have major
Yeah.
issues with it.
You and me
So,
both, Tenura. You and me both.
I mean, hey, I see you whenever we've got debate competition, so I'll take that as a dub as well.
Exactly.
That's another thing, actually, I wanted to talk to you about. It is, I know me personally, and this is for everyone listening, Asta is a very competitive individual. As a matter of fact, last year she took part in the Emirates Environmental Group debate. She was the captain of the team, and she brought Middlesex University to a second place result. So, firstly, congratulations to that. So, for me, what I want to ask you is, with your competitive nature, how has it been being how's it been taking part in competitions representing the university?
First off, oh, Tenura, did you just compliment me?
I mean, hey, I'm a nice guy. I like to compliment people. I always compliment people.
Okay. Yeah, you're right. I am a really competitive person. And taking part in, like, I think any event that includes you representing the university kind of just brings you, like, a sense of pride. Like, I'm aware I'm not part of, like, most university events, because I don't have the time for it. But when you do get the opportunity to do something like that, especially on such a huge scale, there's like a sense of pride. And it just kind of makes the entire experience sort of personalized. It's almost as if you're not just representing the university, but kind of trying to prove it to yourself that here, these are my skill sets. And I'm not like the biggest part of the university, but here's something I can do.
It's always just a great honor, but also it's a great experience, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It really is. kind of reminds me that I might actually be missing out on a lot of things since every time that I've been part of EEG, it's just the team of people is just like welcoming and warm, and everybody's just trying to give their best. It's a really, let's say, heartwarming experience.
Oh, you're calling me as your teammate heartwarming. I'm touched.
Haha, then we're a haha.
Right. So, moving forward, another thing that you actually mentioned very early on was that you write books. And if I'm
Oh,
not
yes, I do.
mistaken, I think a year or two ago, you actually published one of your own pieces. Do you mind actually talking a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. I think on the 27th of July, 2 years ago, so 2021, I published a book on Amazon, and it was like a private publishing in the start. So it was just something that I published, except afterwards, I think the UK Book Depository read the book and they wanted to publish it themselves. So we had to, there was like a lot of like legal processing involved. But luckily for me, I think 2 months later, it was running like number one on bestseller by books written by women on Amazon,
Yep.
which was crazy. I really didn't expect that.
And what was
But
the title of the book?
oh, it's trigger warning. It's called Love Letters and Suicide Notes. Oh,
Oh
duh,
no, I
I
forgot.
know.
Oh my God. I mean, listen, I remember taking that book. Like, I remember seeing, I think it was during our first ever club meeting when I started university. During a club meeting, you actually mentioned this. I went up and looked up the book and I was like, oh my, because like the writings inside were very deep as well. So, and hey, at the top
Yeah,
of that,
really dark book.
I mean, hey, it's a lot of different, you know, in a way. Also, when I read it, there was a sense of direction in it, not in terms of the what do you call it, what many people would see on the cover, but kind of like in a learning experience to help people. Would you say that was a bit of an inspiration that came to you when writing the book?
I think that was the purpose of the book in the first place, because the first thing, if you're like in a sad, lonely, or gray space, the first thing you look for is not somebody that's living a happier life than you, but somebody that's also gone through the same experience. So the purpose of the book was to write about like experiences that weren't exactly the best, but when someone else reads it, they know that they're not alone. So you kind of feel like it's a very lighthouse material book.
Of sense of companionship, would you say?
Yeah.
That was actually, it's a very sweet gesture you actually did, you know? Because I can guarantee, and this is not just coming from the university student aspect, a lot of people, especially in the age range of, let's say, 17 to 25 maybe, teenagers to young adults, they deal with such situations, and sometimes it's just their mental situation is not in a good place. So for there to be something to, you know, to look to, and just to give them that reminder that there are people with the same situation as you know, that reminder is always a good feeling. So it's a very heartwarming thing you did. And hey, number one bestseller. Not anyone can say that.
Yeah, it's so crazy when I think about it.
I guess on top of juggling a job, a full-time degree, and being a first, a number one bestseller, you're doing pretty well for yourself.
Yeah, it's just something that happens when you can't give yourself free time. It's when doing things is your coping mechanism from stress. You tend to overachieve.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with overachieving. Everything's good on the CV, which is actually another thing I want to come to. The idea, the topic of overachieving. And not just overachieving specifically, because one thing about any university student and warning for anyone that's about to get any way emotional, their mental health. Now, I think you and I both know very well how the stigma of mental health as a university student has been treated over across the entire board, whether it's seen as a cool thing, whether it's seen as a bad thing. But we all know that mental health is probably one of the first things that a student has to manage. And personally, knowing you, you have a lot. You do a lot. You are very competitive. You represent the university. You have a full-time degree, a full-time job, blah, blah, yada, yada, yada. I've listed all these things. So for me to, I want to ask you, and sorry if it's a little too personal, how have you, or how has it been trying to manage or maintain your mental health throughout the course of the last 3 years with everything you've been doing?
I think first off, being a psychology student, I'm generally more aware of how I'm feeling. And I think most people don't have that. There's a lot of lack of education and awareness about like how you can be feeling mentally. But most of the times I do get anxious really quickly. I get stressed out really quickly. It's mostly because I'm doing too many things. I think as far as management's concerned, you just need to ground yourself and find something that finds you peace. Could just be any of your hobbies, actually. Could be singing, art. For me personally, it's writing. That's why I perform poetry. And just talking to people. That's how I find myself at most peace when I'm talking to someone, which sometimes can be really hard because mental health's not exactly the lightest conversations to have with your friends. But most of all, I'm sure everybody has that one person that they can talk to thing. So management just basically comes down to being able to communicate.
I tell you what, now I'm feeling heartwarmed by the entire talk about mental health because I mean there's everything you said is right. It is a very touchy subject, and if you don't speak to the right people about it, a lot of things can go disarray. But hey, being able to be aware about it in itself is a major ability that a lot of people don't have. So you know what, from my end, you seem to have pretty good control of it.
That's a lot of
So,
compliments in one day, Tanura.
okay, everyone's gonna think I don't give compliments that much. Like, listen,
You don't.
I do, guys, I do, don't, I do. Anyways, one final thing I want to touch upon is, and get ready, everyone, ooh, money, money, money,
Oh.
money. Now, I think everyone listening, whether you're a student, in undergrad, postgrad, or even just a working adult, money and financial management is like key on this in this earth, especially nowadays. And I feel like you may have a few pro tips about it. So one thing I really did want to ask you was, on top of everything, there is obviously increased responsibility to you, I've said it several times, I'm going to say it again. You are not the complete average student. Being a full-time employee and doing an undergrad degree, your responsibilities have hiked up massively, whether it comes to your own, whether it comes to your personal well-being or your financial, management. So for me, I want to ask you, what has it been, or what do you think the differences have been being a full-time university student and handling your finances compared to the average teenager or student that would probably be, a little bit more dependent on their parents?
I think for starters, I don't think most people are paying their own tuition fees. Knowledge
Fair
is not
point.
cheap.
Fair point. Fair point, guys. Fair
Knowledge is not cheap.
Not at all.
But what would be like a difference? I don't think everybody's living by themselves. Rent is high. Like the way it burns my wallet every month. Crazy.
I can feel the heart of the wallet just crackling as rent is due.
Yeah, it's crazy. Also, like buying your car, paying for petrol. I think everything is just in general, you would think that having fun and like going places and luxury activities would be what's costing you more. But I think when you do things by yourself, you realize utilities and just living basic human life is expensive when you're not under someone else's roof.
I mean, I guess living under your own roof does come with a lot of its own benefits.
It does. It really does.
But obviously, like you said, it's not the luxuries, it's the basics that
It's the
kind of puts a
basics.
shock to the system. So
Yeah.
if you were to like tell a fresh university student about to start university, right, for the first time, they might be coming in from abroad, and they really need to start money management. What would you say are your three biggest tips in order for them to have the best financial responsibility while also being able to live the best life possible as a student?
Okay. I'm gonna assume everybody drinks coffee. Iced coffee is not a necessity. 100%. Like, this was one of the mistakes I made in my first year. Oh my God, the amount of money I would have saved if I wasn't buying iced coffee daily. Just no.
I can already hear a lot of people just preparing for an argument return, but fortunately, this conversation's between you and me.
Oh my God, Tenura, no, like, trust me, coffee is overpriced. Just buy yourself coffee and make it at home. There's no reason for you to be paying 28 dirhams for coffee on a daily basis. There's no reason. It's irrational.
Fair enough. So, number one, coffee.
Coffee, yes. Number two is almost exclusively use public transport. It's not easy to be a student and traveling like in Kareems and taxis. Just know the country has a beautiful public transport system. You can use the buses and the metros. It's significantly cheaper.
I endorse this point to the brink of no return. I endorse this to the max. I can publicly say I am a stan of the public transportation system here.
Exactly. I spent like 1.5 year in public transport, and I know for a fact now that I'm driving myself around, it's like three times more expensive for me to get to places.
Damn. But, well, I mean, I guess, again, having your own car does come with a lot of its own perks. But
It does, but like being a just like a fresh entry into college, and you're still trying to work yourself into the workforce and the market, I think it's just best to use public transport.
all right. And the third pro tip would be?
Third pro tip would be, do not spend more than 20% of your monthly budget on things you 100% do not need. Like, okay, no offense to all the sneakerheads, there's no reason to buy 500 dirham shoes.
Okay, hey, wow, I am offended as a sneakerhead, but I can kind of
Come
see
on,
your point.
Tanura.
No, I can
Logically,
definitely.
if your monthly budget is 1,000 dirhams and you're spending 500 on a pair of shoes, that's 50% of your monthly budget gone.
Definitely, I can definitely understand, the point of view you're coming from. It isn't a necessity. Maybe if you like take 5 months and save it up and you buy it, totally makes a lot of sense, but yeah, I can definitely see where you're coming with it because I wouldn't want to say they're ripoffs because they do have high value backing them, sneakers. But I
Yeah, they
again,
do.
when you're a first time when you're a first university student, you have no idea where you are, what you got to do. Yeah, I can totally see your point of view on this.
Yeah, it's a really simple financial rule. It's called 80-20-10, where 80% you try and save, 20% on all your basic necessities, and 10% save for impulse purchases like shoes.
Fair enough. I'll be very honest, and this is just me adding to your point. If you are a type of person that likes to look at markets like stock market or cryptocurrencies, probably put that 10% into investing. Because I'm telling you, crypto and stocks here, if you're into that stuff, you're set. You can live. And I know for a
Yeah, the
fact that
stock
you can
market's
back
really nice
this.
here, actually.
I know for a fact you can back this. I've seen your crypto. I've seen your crypto.
Yeah, crypto is, again, like, it's a volatile market. It just needs like some learning in the back of it, but once you get the hang of it, amazing. You're set for life.
I've seen your markets, man. I can guarantee that. Anyway,
Oh.
with that being said, that is all the time we have for this episode. And just before we end, I do have one last question for you, Asta. And don't, actually, I don't think you're gonna kill me for this, but let's see. If you were able to leave one quote, one phrase of information for you before you started university, when you were just about to enter university, if you can go and meet yourself back then, what's the one little piece of information, or what would you tell that version of yourself 3 years before?
I don't know where I read this quote, but I read it super recently and I thought, I wish I knew this like 3 years ago. It would be, change is inevitable, growth is optional. So,
Ooh.
yeah, I think everybody has to change. You can't not change. Change is like time, stops for no one, but growth is optional, and more often than not, you need to choose to grow.
Oh wow. That is a very hard-hitting quote. I like that. I like that a lot. I'm definitely gonna find out who said that because that is a hard-hitting quote. As far as I'm concerned, you're the one that said it.
No, I think it's from I think it's 10 or 11 Irrefutable Laws of Leadership or something. I think it's one of those books. I'm not sure.
I mean, hey, I guess that's another read. But hey,
Yeah,
but again, Asta, thank you so much for coming on the show. I hope you had a great time.
it was lovely.
And to everyone listening, you guys can, if you guys have anything you want to tell to Asta, you can definitely mention it in the comments below. If you want to follow her online on her social medias, you can definitely do that by checking out on our social media page at Student Era on Instagram. And with that being said, thank you once again, Asta, and thank you everyone for listening to another episode of the Students Era podcast. Thank you and have a great day ahead.